Good morning. A lot of lethargy out there. Welcome to the council study session for November 15th. We're going to excuse the mayor, who is in Washington, D.C. We're also excuse Councilwoman Higgins, who unfortunately will not be able to call in this morning. First item on the agenda will be to review the agenda items for the November 19th regular council meeting. Give everybody a second to pull that up. You all set, Dave? Still having problems?
No, I'm not sure. Our IT division needs to be logged in first.
He doesn't have security clearance.
We'll start with the easy stuff. On page 2, items on the consent agenda, items 1 through 3C. No. Page 3, items 4A through 4C. Nothing. 4D or 4E? Alex?
If I'm reading this correctly, 4F, legal process service, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Is there anybody here from the process service to represent by chance? If not, I would. I'll save my questions for later. I'd like them to be at study session on Monday. Visit with them. Get them on the record. I've had several complaints. I know the mayor has expressed to me some complaints about service that wasn't properly done with regard to photo radar tickets. I know there's even a city employee that very credible to me that went through a bad situation. And so I want to get these guys on the record, find out how they're doing this. This is the same service we've been using, I presume, since 2009, and be able to find out the process, you know, what they're going to do to make sure those things don't happen in the future. And also, later, I could just visit with PD. We're supposed to be keeping records of complaints. These are just complaints that have come to the mayor's office, the council's office, and so find out. I'm sure there's a great way to avoid these problems in the future. So love to have it there, but I'd like to pull it off consent. So,
John?
We'll make sure we talk to the process servers and see if they can be here on Monday.
Mr. Richens?
The other thing is, John and I have talked a little bit about this, is our contract for photo radar expires in February 2014, which is less than 2 years. And so just want to make sure that a two-year renewal is the appropriate length for a program that may or may not go past February 2014. So talk to me a little bit about the rationale for that length.
Well, we have two things that work in our benefit on that, Councilmember Richens. First of all, we don't expend any money for this contract. We are merely the pass-through, so a defendant who is served and then ends up paying the ticket and the service, they pay us and then we pay the service process. So if we stopped issuing citations tomorrow, once those citations work their way through the system, even though we have the contract in place, we would not have any obligation under that contract. Secondly, for this one, in talking to the courts, generally it takes about 4 months after the last citation for them to go through that process. And then we have to reconcile. So it's 4 to 6 months after the last citation that we would want that contract in place. So given the time frames that we're talking about right now, we think this two-year extension fits us about perfect.
So if there's no citations and there's 3 months to go on the contract, there's no penalty, there's no payment required, nothing.
We have zero obligation. We are merely the pass-through on this.
Okay, thank you.
And just to follow up.
Sure.
Also, if you could research for us, if we find that there's continued problems on falsifying service and things, what are our ability to cancel the contract, or, you know, is that built into this? And just like to know what our options are. Thank you.
We'll get that answer on Monday also.
Anyone else? 4F or 4G for that matter? 4H through 4J. Yes. 4K or 4L? It's like two items per page. 4M, 4N. or 5A or 5B? Sir?
5B, sir. If we could pull that off consent, I was contacted yesterday and asked to pull it off. There's some people that plan to speak, and they were concerned that this thing would fly through on consent, so I just told them I'd pull it off today, so they're assured that they'll have their chance. So.
Very well. We have a presentation on that next, and we'll see it again on Monday, so we'll go ahead and take that off consent. So 6A through 6D, and I know we have questions a little bit on that. 6A?
Yes, Vice Mayor, if I may, 6A deals with rezoning for a 40-acre tract southwest corner of Brisbane and McAllops. Been a lot of neighborhood interest in this particular case, and the applicant has continued to work with the neighbors to help resolve some of their concerns they had since the Planning and Zoning Board action. You have in front of you this morning a letter from Ralph Pugh's office with regard to some of those last-minute changes. Attached to that is a site plan. It has the same number of lots, same basic layout. They've reorganized the lots just a little bit in response to the neighbors' concerns. They've also made a very slight change to the ordinance itself, dealing with where one-story houses would be built. Before it just said a lot, now it says two lots is the difference in that ordinance language. You see it underlined in red. So that's the only change. It's all consistent with the Planning and Zoning Board approval. And so I just want you to be aware of that, and this is what we're actually introducing on Monday.
Okay, very well. Any questions on that or the site map from anybody? Looks nice. All right. Yes, sir? Well, we're going to do a little bit on 6B. This is in my district, and I didn't want to fly past this one because I think this is it's either a big little deal or a little big deal. I'm not entirely sure, but it's kind of a big deal. And I didn't want to just fly through it as a consent agenda item without raising some attention to it. So what is happening here is that we are Bridgestone is bringing a facility into Mesa, but it also touches in other parts of the state. Shay, can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, good morning, Vice Mayor, members of Council. This is a very big deal. This is a big project for the city. We're very excited about it. Bridgestone, which if you're not familiar with that organization, it's a multinational corporation actually headquartered in Tokyo, Japan. Their U.S. or North American headquarters is in Nashville, Tennessee. They have committed to building a research and development facility in the city of Mesa, in District 6.
Oh, yeah.
There was two components to their project. One was approximately 10 acres for a research and development facility, and that landed in Mesa. The other component to their project was about 200 acres of farmland near Casa Grande to actually farm the Waiuli shrub. There's been 30 years or so of research on this particular shrub, and it's well known that it has a natural presence of rubber within the shrub. Bridgestone intends to, again, farm the shrub, cultivate it, bring the feedstock up to Mesa, and run a bunch of research and development on the feedstock to extract the natural presence of rubber from the shrub in an effort to kind of stabilize their rubber prices going forward. The project should create up to 32 high-wage jobs. These are researchers and scientists. It's about approximately a $70 million investment for Bridgestone. $35 million in the first phase, and as they scale up their efforts, they'll likely follow with another $35 million. What's being introduced on the 19th is a ordinance for a zoning case, and on the 3rd, December 3rd, Council will also be asked to consider a development agreement for the project as well.
Thank you, Shay. I wanted to touch on this a little bit because it's not just about another business moving into Mesa. This is a Fortune 500 company.
It is, absolutely.
Who are bringing research-oriented jobs, high-wage research-oriented jobs into the valley, and it touches a number of things that I know that our mayor and this council have been working on. One is the regional impact that these types of jobs and activities in the Phoenix-Mesa Gateway, or I should just say the Mesa Gateway area, around Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport has on the entire state. Mm-hmm. The farm, this research facility is going to provide some opportunities for folks down in Eloy because of the farm that's down there. So it's bringing jobs not only to Mesa, but other jobs to the rural areas of the state. And I think that's important for the economy of the state as a whole. Secondly, we need to continue to attract these jobs, but we do so by investing in our education system as well. There's they don't want to import every scientist from out of state into the state. One of the things that they were looking for in our conversation, my conversations with them, was they wanted to know that we had the educated workforce, the talent that they need, that they could hire locally to do this type of research. So it touches into what many of our council members here, the mayor, have been working on with bringing institutions of higher learning here, with reinforcing our K through 12 education. And it also is that 21st century research and development into environmentally friendly ways of doing business and being able to recycle and utilize this plant as a replacement for rubber. So it just touches on so many things, I think, that are important to this council. And the opportunity to bring them into Mesa is a tremendous boon for the entire region. Would you agree? Of course you would.
Vice Mayor, I agree.
Anybody else happy or giddy, or would you want to move? Council, for the record, Council Member Fincher is happy. So happy he's fidgeting in his chair. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And I know we have a question from Council Member Kavanaugh on 6C.
Yeah, I have a question, and also I'd like a little bit more staff information. I think the agenda description is not might need to be corrected because this expansion, I think, is in fact much, is larger than what is showing on the agenda itself. And I was wondering if Christine Zelanka could help clarify the nature of this expansion, which is very significant, whether there are any unique components of this particular project from the city standpoint. And then from the economic development staff, I'm curious in terms of the number of anticipated jobs this expansion may afford to the community. Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Vice Mayor Summers, Council Member Kavanaugh, this is a 100,000 square foot expansion of the existing Empire Southwest facility at Country Club. They are looking at making this, or at this point they're planning, which is just the introduction of the ordinance at this point, planning for an expansion and basically a regional service center, bringing in a number of jobs. So very exciting at this point. They're just introducing it. They're beginning to work with planning on doing some site changes on the PAD. That's why it's before you today. But it is quite a significant expansion of their facility.
And as part of the component of their plan, they're talking about using their parking structures also with a solar component, perhaps similar to ASU.
Right, it's going to be very similar to that. They're going to have covered solar parking out there.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and Vice Mayor and Councilmembers, you know, this has all come about, too, because has it been 3 years now since the annexation?
Yes.
I think it was about 3 years ago, the annexation of this area. And it was one of those opportunities we had to work with, you know, local business, but really wasn't in Mesa, but had a lot of employees. And so it's been a great relationship since that time. We've been able to work on some mutually beneficial goals. And I think it's always exciting to see an existing business expand. That's the easiest economic development opportunities there are, is to grow existing businesses. So we're really excited about this opportunity.
And I think we have a rep from economic development to talk about the job impact potentially.
So you thought you were going back to your office. Yeah. And alas,
excuse me, Vice Mayor, members of council, can you repeat the question? I wasn't here.
We were talking about the expansion of Empire and the potential. It's a pretty dramatic expansion with this new component center and office building. And just in terms of the economic development office, what is the potential for additional jobs that come with this kind of expansion? It seems to be a pretty major expansion of a business that's already important to the community.
Yeah, Vice Mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh, it is a significant expansion. I think 70 to 100,000 square feet of additional 100,000 square feet additional space on their campus. In our early discussions with them, they anticipated there would be an additional number of new jobs to the site, not necessarily net new jobs to their organization, between 100 and 150 jobs at the site. So, and if you remember, you know, Empire is pretty significant high wage jobs. If I remember, their average salary from our previous dealings is upwards of $65,000 to $70,000 per employee, average wage.
They collect sales tax too, there, I think.
They do.
Great. Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anything else on that item?
We'll have the agenda corrected on the 100,000 square feet for Monday.
Perfect. And let's do the rest of the agenda, 7A through 10. Anything for the rest of the agenda? And that's our Monday agenda. We'll switch now. One of the agenda items coming up on Monday will be to establish a downtown entertainment district. So we have a presentation on that here, discuss and provide direction on the downtown entertainment district. So would you entertain us with the entertainment district?
Yes. Thank you, Vice Mayor and members of the City Council. We're here, as you said, to talk about downtown liquor license and the nighttime economy. And with me this morning is David Short from the Downtown Mace Association and also Gordon Sheffield from our planning department. Also in the audience, in case there are questions, we have other members of our team. We have members from the Economic Development Department, the Tax and License Department, and, of course, our Police Department, because they've been part and parcel to this entire discussion. So ever since this City Council has come on board, one of your main focus areas has been to activate downtown and to find ways to do that through creating new markets, creating new events, finding ways to cut through bureaucratic red tape, anything we can do to sort of encourage that local market to thrive and to activate itself, both in the daytime when family activities happen, but also in the evening hours. And that's really in particular what we're talking about today. Today, the Arizona State Liquor License has a rule that basically requires a 300-foot buffer or distance requirement between schools and churches or bars and nightclubs. And this is anywhere in the state of Arizona, not just for Mesa. And so recently, and actually this has been an ongoing conversation for Mesa as well as other cities in the state, but most recently it came to a head in 2010 with the city of Yuma. And the city of Yuma, basically there was a church that wanted to locate right in the middle of their downtown. And Yuma basically said, look, we love having schools and churches in our cities. We celebrate them just like other cities do. But there's this unintentional limitation that happens with the state law, and it creates locational issues and because of that 300-foot buffer. So the Arizona State Legislature created a new tool, and they named it an entertainment district. And so for some people, that sounds a little bit more than what this actually is, because at its very basic level, all this does is remove that 300-foot distance barrier limit. And so that is the tool that we're here to talk to you about today. We can do this for an area up to 1 square mile. And we've identified an area that Gordon will talk about in a little bit more in a bit. So why downtown Mesa?
Natalie, yes. Councilmember Kavanaugh would like to have a word.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Natalie, I'd like to clarify the 300-foot limit, really. That just applies to a particular type of liquor license, isn't that correct?
That
because
is correct.
In downtown Mesa, adjacent to schools and churches, we have other holders of liquor licenses, such as the Mesa Arts Center across from the Heritage Academy, Ninth Porn's Cafe, De La Cruz Bistro. Those all have liquor licenses and sell and serve alcohol. But what we're talking about here in the state law is the buffer between an entity that has a different type of liquor license. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. Councilmember Kavanaugh, thank you for asking that question. This really has to do with what was called Series 6 licenses, which are bars and nightclubs. Also, I can't remember the numbers. I think
microbreweries
and wineries in particular. But yes, we have restaurants that have liquor licenses, which are Series 12s. We have the MAC. We have lots of different entities in down today that serve alcohol.
What kind of liquor license does a convenience store have?
I think it's a beer and wine retail license.
So it's is that permissible under the current law within this area? I mean, if
it's not subject to the 300-foot rule, if that's your question.
Okay,
Vice
Mayor. So a convenience store could set up right next to a church or a daycare or a school, and that would not violate the 300-foot rule.
That's correct.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you.
Councilman Finner. Since we're talking, we don't want to derail your presentation, but Mr. Sheffield.
Yes.
Maybe some additional one.
Do we have to backtrack on that last one?
Backtrack, I'm sorry, on that one, yes. They could not locate within 300 feet.
Oh, I'm
They're
sorry.
Restricted.
It's my fault.
No, that's fine. That's okay. I'm that's just glad here. To get the information. The expert came forward. Okay, so.
Anyone that's any kind of a liquor store or any of that type would have to, does apply to the 300-foot rule. So the only person that really is exempted from the 300-foot rule is.
What's exempted?
Let's try that one.
Yeah.
The only people that are exempted from the 300-foot rule are restaurants, Series 12 licenses, and governmental licenses. So everyone else is subject to the 300-foot rule.
Got it.
Interesting. So let me find out what Alex has to ask.
Well, I was hoping maybe someone up here could tell us, where did that 300-foot rule come from? We did a little research in the council office, and it's but no one could really track it down. Gordon, do you know where that came from?
I can guess, but I don't know, no.
Okay. Right. Well, what we think we heard or through our research was it was kind of a compromise that came out of the repeal of prohibition. Mm. And it's really across the United States that 300-foot rule applies. Now, I've always implied that our thought it might be from the Old West days where you kept your saloons at one place and you kept your schools and your churches at the other end of town because bullets were flying. But when you really look back to the 300-foot rule and try and understand where it comes from, it's hard to guess. So anyway, I thought maybe there was more info, but thank you.
Well, and Councilmember Finter, I was just told by our legal department that it is part of our state statute and has been for quite some time, but also that it's become a standard for many states, as you pointed out.
Right.
Let's go ahead with the rest of the presentation. I'm going to have a question for you at the end, so
sure.
If you would hang out
yes.
On camera with the light shining on you, that would sure. be awesome.
Okay, so part of our process before we wanted to bring this forward to you was we wanted to go out and talk with our community and really better understand where they're coming from on this. And so we've done a lot of outreach. We've had meetings with schools and churches in particular. We've had meetings with Series 6 licenses that exist downtown today. We've met with the Downtown Mesa Association Board. We've met with the I believe in Downtown Mesa group. And we've had a broader public meeting most recently just to make sure that we were hitting anybody and everybody that we could. Now, in general, we've heard very positive feedback about this and agreement across the board, even from one school in particular that's raised some concerns, but about wanting to activate downtown and an agreement for that approach. Most people understand that we're trying to create a diversity and intensity of uses in that urban core. We've heard people say that they don't like when there's limitations from state law or any kind of law, and that you know this is something that we want to be able to regulate and work together with each other. We all know that new colleges are expected to come downtown. That's going to create a new market, a creative class. Light rail is coming. And so there are lots of different economic development opportunities in the downtown area, and anything we can do and tools that we can use is a good thing. On the flip side, we have heard some concerns, and most recently we've been receiving some emails. I know the council's been receiving some. And, you know, there is a school that's located right in the middle of downtown, and some of the parents are reaching out to let us know that they really appreciate this protection of the existing liquor license and the distance requirements. They do see that as the way to balance the two different types of needs. A desire to retain the family-friendly atmosphere in the downtown area. A concern about crime that's created when you add more liquor types of establishments in any area of the city. But again, understanding that we want to activate downtown, just not sure this is the right way to go about doing that. But we wanted to make sure that you understood everything that we'd heard. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Gordon Sheffield, who can talk about the proposed boundaries that we've also discussed in detail with the community and where we've landed and why.
Good morning. The map that you see on the screen right now is kind of evolved a little bit. When we started this, we initially just thought of the original square mile. The statute has two basic limitations in terms of the area that you can use for this. One is that the actual physical area that's designated can't be larger than 1 square mile. The second is that the boundaries itself have to be at least 1/8 of a mile thick. So from one boundary to the next boundary, you have to have at least an eighth of a mile. So you can't gerrymander this into something that's got a lot of spider web things that are, that crawl out. So we started with the downtown square mile, and then we removed the historic districts, the residential historic districts that are on the north side. So the Second Street District, the Robeson District, the Wilbur District have been removed. The other thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to capture the areas around the light rail stations. And so this has been extended down Main Street to Extension. We've extended a little bit along Main Street past Mesa Drive to the border of Pioneer Park. We kept the area that's up into near the Centennial Hall and the Convention Center, and then the area, the some of the vacant land that's out toward Mesa Drive and University. And then we've also, during our conversations, we had heard interest in using the old citrus packing plant at Broadway and Country Club as a possible microbrewery. And so we extended down into that area as well. So that's kind of where this ended up. The total ends up being 0.77 square miles. All of the boundaries meet the 1/8 of a mile thickness requirement in terms of the width of the actual areas that are being considered. The areas that you actually gain in terms of potential for a bar or a microbrewery or a beer wine type of bar are the areas on the map that are in kind of the goldenrod kind of colors. So you would gain areas that is particularly along Main Street and Center. There's quite a bit of area in that, and also along First Avenue and certainly along Central, or Center, I should say. I have one more thought. We did listen to, during our last meeting with the public, there was some suggestions about making some small tweaks to that. One, we did modify the map to include an area between Center Street and Robeson along the north side of First Street. That area was expanded. The previous maps we had shown did not include that. There had been some discussion about expanding it south of First Avenue between Center and Mesa Drive. We left that area out for right now. There's a petition that's circulating in that area currently regarding historic districts. We wanted to see that play out first before the possibility of expanding down into that area.
So we do have the option of expanding this or contracting yes. this, changing this district over
right.
time?
We don't know this for sure. We haven't done the legal research. There's a possibility. I just talked with Donna Bronski. There's a possibility that if we expand into an area and then retract from it, there could be possible 207 claims because we're establishing, in essence, a right and then pulling that back. We don't know that for sure, but rather than try to get into that question, we thought we'd be conservative with the district and allow expansion later as things develop, especially in the downtown.
Okay, Council Member Kavanaugh.
Well, thank you. Being the noted property rights person that I am, I've always felt the 300-foot buffer limit is certainly does infringe on people's ability to use their property. So I think at least what we're doing here, in one sense, you know, if you're a classic libertarian, you're expanding opportunities for people to use their property as they see fit. So I think this is a good approach. I think we do have to be cautious once we create permitted zone. I think contracting it does raise questions, 207 questions, but I think it also is a good idea to wait to see what happens with the historic district, also to continue to monitor progress related to economic development and light rail, because there may be, again, other opportunities in the future for the council to expand the goldenrod areas. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this. If we can expand this over time, I'm just curious, why would we have between, and excuse me, but this, the map is a little hard to read, especially as I can't read anymore, Country Club to a little past Extension, and there doesn't seem to be any goldenrod in there at all. So why would we go ahead and designate that portion of, where's the nearest light rail stop there? I know there's one right off of Country Club. Why extend it that far out
if we don't need to, at least at this point.
Part of the thought with that, Vice Mayor, was that it we're kind of being preventative, so to speak, in that particular circumstance. There, that area has a lot of potential for redevelopment. We think that there could be a lot of redevelopment related to the light rail stop that's there. We're trying to encourage mixed-use activity in that particular area. And so this is more get out ahead of it type of thing rather than trying to protect that anything that might any existing churches that might have been there previously.
But again, I'm just wondering if that isn't something we might be able to add on at a later date as we develop this area out, because there's nothing stopping them right now from putting in a wine and bistro. And really, I would imagine the area where we're specifically focused on is that area between really First and First along Main Street. We want to focus in and around this area, just to the south of us here where we're sitting today. So I'm wondering if maybe some of these boundaries could be brought back a little bit, and the area of great interest too, I think, where to have a bigger bang for your buck is that north of Broadway to First Avenue to, is that Hibbert, which is, I think, the area you were discussing that's going through a historic.
Center to Mesa Drive was the area that we withdrew.
Okay, so that's a little different. But, I mean, there seems to be other areas that maybe we might focus on.
The Country Club and Broadway area, particularly that extension, relates to the citrus packing plant down at, so that's kind of why the extension's down that way.
The citrus packing plant's over by Country Club.
It's northeast corner of Country Club and Broadway.
And again, there's no goldenrod down that area, so there would be nothing at current or anticipated that would prohibit them from. I suppose you have that we never know what's going to happen, but.
And Council and Vice Mayor, I mean, certainly we could entertain that if it's the Council's pleasure to adjust the boundaries. That's one of the reasons that we're here and talking about it. The reason and the main reason that we're doing this is that, you know, we've done lots of studies. We've got our central main plan. We know light rail is coming. We know that this is an area of our downtown in particular that we want to intensify uses. And so we want the community to know this is what we want to do. That's kind of where we're headed and what we want to do. And so, yes, we can adjust the boundaries if you deem it appropriate at this point, because they can always be adjusted later if we need it to.
Is there a limit on size?
Yeah. One square mile.
Vice
Mayor, I think the idea is it's not just to address the areas where there's existing conflict, but to get ahead of any chance there might be some coming in the future, so we can avoid that. So if someone wants to come in with school or church, that if it's inside an entertainment district, they know that up front, as opposed to creating that conflict later. And I think we always kind of think of that core downtown. We kind of picked Country Club, Mesa Drive, that's kind of been our defining limits. And then, you know, how far north and south from Maine you go, I think that's always debatable. But that seems to kind of been our traditional boundaries of the entryway or the limits of downtown. So I think that's what staff was trying to do in working with DMA and their efforts, is kind of defining that area as best as we could. Now, we can make adjustments, but I think we were trying to not only deal with existing conflicts, but also to try to kind of get out ahead, because that's probably if we can do that, then we avoid future opportunities for someone to come into downtown.
Councilmember Fenner.
I know we want to move on, get through the presentation. Gordon, can you give us a quick history lesson? In my old days around in Mesa, I remember when all the Series 6s were located along Main Street all the way out, because it was the old highway that went through. Is that correct?
And yes.
Why was that? Was it
because in the previous zoning ordinance, bars were relegated to the old C3 district and the M1 district. The County Board of Supervisors back in the 1950s designated the old state highways and the federal highways as C3 property, 150 feet on either side. And that was the only C3 that was available in town. And so if you're going to have a bar license, you were stuck in the C3 district you only see three available was along Main Street.
So I think it's ironic to look at the history and then see we're coming almost kind of full circle back around, and that is going to be, even though it won't be an old highway, it's now going to be a light rail corridor and an area of high intense use. And so it's just kind of ironic how things come back after all these decades. So
do we have a motion to make Alex our official historian? All right, let's finish it. We have two more slides, and then
okay, thank you. I wanted to introduce David Short because we also partnered very closely with the Downtown Mesa Association in this, because implementation of any activation in downtown is going to be very important, and they're going to play a very primary role.
Good morning, Vice Mayor and Council. The DMA's role, like Natalie said in this, is to act as a liaison between businesses that we have. We have a very diverse mix down here, and we are delighted to have all the different types of businesses, churches and schools in the downtown core, and we want to work to add to that mix and also help manage it and any conflicts. And you know, right now we have a good group of operators and we don't have many conflicts at all, but you know, we work to manage those and work with the operators and neighbor businesses so that they can, you know, work out any issues that may arise from this increase in usage in the district, whether it be trash or noise or things like that. So we have, like I said, a good group of operators, and we want to keep that level of standards. So when we do have new businesses and types coming in, to kind of know how we operate downtown, to use the DMA as a resource to kind of intervene if there is any conflicts or issues, to help out and manage those things. But, you know, we see our role as really helping facilitating that. We've worked on a good neighbor policy, you know, so people can work on any issues. And again, when new businesses come in, know that there's a certain level of standards to operate in downtown Mesa, and that, you know, we all want to coexist and add to the business hours of downtown, you know, to have a morning where you have, you know, coffee, breakfast shops, and then your retail, lunches, early evening dinners, and then that late night aspect that's really a little slow right now, but we want to pick that up and again manage all those usages together. And then, you know, we're kind of the first, defense is the wrong word, but the first option to go to help to resolve any issues before it gets to the next level. But there are procedures in place that if we do have a bad operator, there's a business or a that's creating safety concerns or not being respectful of their neighbors, and then there's options beyond us that we can go to.
So let's do Councilmember Kavanaugh and then Councilmember Richens.
Great. I'm going to use the power of lightning and ask Chief Milstead a question to come up about public safety in regard to this.
We're out of chairs.
Well, while he comes up here, my question is just what other cities have implemented the entertainment district clause of the liquor statutes? Is Scottsdale's an official entertainment district under this statute?
Tucson is the only city? That's looking into it at this point. I don't think
nobody's actually implemented this. Tucson is looking at it.
Tucson has been looking at this, just as we have.
Sorry. I went out of turn.
And that's my understanding. We can look into it to see if there's any others that have, but basically because this is a fairly new law, it really didn't go into full implementation until August of this year. And so it's fairly new to cities and towns, and others are looking at it. Scottsdale has just created their own, what they call their entertainment district in their downtown area. But this tool with a 300-foot buffer is something that's new.
So Scottsdale's issues didn't necessarily evolve because of a district like this. Their district evolved on its own to what it is now.
Without that is correct. And Scottsdale's downtown is 6 square miles. I mean, if you really look at the entire area, and they've got
because they're godless and uneducated, they have no churches and schools to get in the way, right?
They have chosen to have a focus area.
Well, that'll be.
That'll get back to Jim Lane, won't it?
Gary Nelson, stop writing. Stop.
Thanks. I'll stop.
But I will, between now and Monday, I'll double check and make sure that, and see if there's any other cities that are pursuing it between now and when we started to study this.
Send your angry emails to David Richens. Chief, would you kneel before the pulpit and give us your presentation?
I'm a little concerned at this point, Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Chief, I know that your department has been has looked at this issue, and as downtown evolves into more intense uses, are there types of practices that we can utilize to create a better public safety atmosphere in downtown? For example, one of the things that that business owners have talked to me about, they really appreciate the cooperation along Main Street with what your department's doing, and some have offered suggestions as we get these more intense uses that the department might consider reinstating or using our bicycle patrols in downtown. Would that be a part of an array of responses that you would consider using as we grow the downtown and have more businesses like this in the entertainment district, more bars, nightclubs, things like that?
Councilman, let me back into that just a little bit. The first thing that I would tell you is that as we bring more people into downtown following that urban design for public safety, the SEPTED principles with lighting and how you trim shrubs and where trees go and all those types of things, I think that's the first thing that you look at. And the second thing is we have to look at overall our staffing model as we bring people in. What are the calls for service going to be generated in the area? And what do we do there at Central to make sure that the downtown area has a bicycle patrol or a walking beat, or it has people on segways or something to that effect, something that's high visibility to not that we would anticipate a lot of problems, but that perception of safety to the people going there is just as important as keeping the problems down. So absolutely on the right track, and we would look at all those different items, but really it's how do we make it look safe with the environmental design, and then what do we do staffing wise for that high visibility. We have a lot of experience with that with the staff that we have, and we'd be able to respond, I think, appropriately and work in congruence with the business community.
Well, a long line, hopefully preventing those things. Not all entertainment businesses are the same. Some generate, in my experience, having to clean up the mess, and your experience in having to create the mess.
Whoa.
What?
We don't create the mess. We are just simply first responders.
Sure, whatever. So, it's a cop fireman thing now.
Jeez. But I can get beat up anywhere, sir.
But, I mean, we've seen that not all businesses are the same. I mean, what we're really looking to do with this entertainment district is to match the vision, to bring in the wine bars and the bistros and the microbreweries, the type of thing that generate a certain vibe. But they're good businesses, and they match well with the art center and a lot of what's evolving in our downtown. What's in law or maybe in our downtown area zoning that precludes some of those bad actors? You know, the ones that create some issues, the drive-through liquor sales, the walk-up liquor sales, is there a way to keep those out and just focus on the positive businesses, the ones that are going to build a better Mesa? Now you can tell the mayor if fit that in, Dave.
Well, Gordon, talk about drive, at least
is that
drive-throughs
a clear
question?
As far as the auto-related uses in the downtown are
And expand beyond that. That's just an example, right. But yeah.
But no, the things like drive-through liquor service, I mean, several types of businesses that might be activated primarily by auto-related customers, they're either prohibited or they have to come through council first to get approval through a council use permit, which makes it difficult at best for those types of activities to even be considered, let alone come through and get adopted. Things like when you talk about bad actors, if they get approval, once they're past approval, the city has through some of its licensing authority, and Tim can talk about this a little bit more than I can. It has some licensing authority that comes up for annual renewal through the council through some city-generated licenses that can be denied, and that can be a way to monitor and enforce things at the back end.
So if we get somebody that comes through whose bar doesn't live up to the reputation that they sell, there are potential avenues for remediation,
yes.
Shall say. Anything from our esteemed city attorney?
My only comment at this point would be, obviously it'll depend on the requirements for the license and the criteria, and I don't know if Tim can address that right now, but there are mechanisms if we have criteria for them holding the license. If they violate those criteria or those standards, we can take action against the license.
And they are standards, right? That's not an interpretation, or those are spelled out.
Vice Mayor and Council, we at this point in time, we've never exercised our right to withdraw or withhold a liquor license through the city, but the city does have a city license that they have to renew every year. So it's not been tried at this point in time whether or not we would withhold one. But the state can issue the license, but if they don't have a city license, they can't operate within the city. So right now there are really no standards or no guidelines for that because it's really never been pushed or tried at this point in time. But since we
haven't
have a
been
license,
tried in Mesa, has it been tried elsewhere?
Not that I'm aware of.
Can we look at that? See if it's
absolutely
ever been done? Be interesting.
Sure,
Mr. Finter.
Chief, appreciate you being here. We appreciate all the service that's provided by the department. Since I'm on a history kick today, I'll just give you a quick. We have had a nightclub in downtown Mesa, and in the early days, there were challenges with surrounding businesses. And what I remember from those times is they would have private security on the interior, their bouncers and everybody. They also had private security on the outside, and that was where some of the rub and the challenges were. I would hope that the department would look at and maybe at some point down the road present to council a plan that would require Mesa police officers off duty to be hired for the external crowd control. And I don't think we have that problem yet, but someday hopefully we'll have thriving businesses. And from what I remember, some of those experiences and would be that having off-duty officers that have communications, that have a history and understanding and a commitment to make sure there's safety in downtown, putting some of that burden on the nightclub owner or whoever to hire that security, I think has led to some success. And I know other communities use that. In fact, I think there's been a couple in Mesa where they've had challenges and they start bringing in off-duty, hiring back off-duty police officers. So love to hear what you have to think about that.
Yes, Councilman Finter, Vice Mayor. I would just tell you that I've seen that work both ways, coming from my previous employer, where at one time we had officers working off duty and liquor establishment was very robust. They were all over. Then it became prohibited by the department because there were problems that happened and liability that occurred. And I think they've actually swung back the other direction as well. But I think that's a great conversation to have. Even when we're blocking off Main and doing the big events, I think it's paramount that we follow an established formula that we do have in our policies, that for every 500 people at the event, I believe they are supposed to be two off-duty police officers. And then for every four officers, they bring in a sergeant for supervision. So those formulas are in place. I think it's a great idea. I would tell you that my experience says that we have much more consistency with the application of law and with the application of good judgment when we use sworn officers over private security.
I think the aura of possibility of being arrested has something to do with that. When it's a private security officer, all they can do is call the police.
Well, even if you just go back to having the debate here with the presence of law enforcement visible, it's a deterrent. It keeps people, on notice that there are people paying attention. I don't think it's any different than when we were kids and we used to go to the ice rink. You had to dress up. You couldn't wear scummy clothes to the ice rink because they didn't want you to fight. They didn't think you'd fight in your church clothes. Well, people don't normally cause trouble when there's a presence of law enforcement.
So not fighting in church clothes, apparently, then this ice rink is not in Scottsdale.
The one that I went to.
Gary. There's plenty of ice rinks in Scottsdale.
playing off of Dave Richens. Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns? No? All right. Thank you very much. Dave? Who?
Dave Short.
Mr. Short?
Yeah.
Man,
I just wanted to...
No, go ahead.
I just want to make one more point from the public meetings we've had and the concerns we've heard. I think the number one concern has been brought up as safety and what's going to be created by this entertainment district and the bars that may come in. But really the feedback we've also gotten is that the current nightlife and inactivity that we have, and that's it's building up right now, more active nightlife and people on the street is going to create a safer environment than what people feel right now coming to downtown late at night when the streets may be empty or businesses are closed. So, you know, from a safety standpoint, a more active nightlife also creates a safer environment, not necessarily the only option is an unsafe environment. So just wanted to point that out.
Right. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is anytime you get people together, anywhere there's a lot of people, there are going to be minor issues with that involve law enforcement, and that's what the police department's here for, to make sure that those things don't get out of control and everybody has a good time. And I think our police department is exceptional at keeping things under control, and the community itself, both the business owners and the business operators have a role in making sure they run good establishments, because it's in their best economic interest as well as the economic interest of the city to make sure they're running good business and people behave themselves. So I think we have a pretty good team of private interests and the city working together to make sure that we get out of this exactly what we hope for, which is a lively downtown and a great experience for anybody who wants to visit. That sounded almost lucid.
Definitely.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Well, that was a light agenda. We'll move on. Item 3A was acknowledge receipt of minutes. Council Member Finter makes the motion on 3A with Council Member Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And Council Member Kavanaugh and Council Member Glover on 3B. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Motion passage. Reports on meetings or conferences attended. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Last night, I attended the graduation of Class 51 of the Mesa Police Department Citizen Police Academy, and I just wanted to, again, compliment the graduates for going through that 12-week program and our police department for working so hard to make that program a success. We've done it since, I think, 1991, and we've had a great success and a great model for the community. I think the next Citizen Police Academy will start in February for residents who may be interested. Thank you.
How do they, is that online?
It's online, yes.
So if they go to the police department website, and if you're interested, you can get involved with that. Anyone else?
Thank you.
I would like to thank everybody who showed up for what I think was probably one of the most well-attended Veterans Day parades in Mesa in the 6 years I have been privileged to serve on this council. The Veterans Day Association, when the city initially had to, because of budget reasons, back out of it, a great group of citizens, many of whom were veterans, got together to make sure that that longstanding Mesa tradition did not die. I was honored to help with that a little bit, and here we are today, 6 years later, and tens of thousands of people attended. We had a lot of fun riding the fire truck. Council Member Finder did a yeoman's work. Were you an engineer? Yes, that's it. Showed his he was a driver operator of fire trucks, and we rode the council rode the antique fire equipment, and the mayor and I had the best position, I think, of riding on the tailboard, which is, you can't do that anymore, but it was a lot of fun. So I would like to thank everybody who volunteered for the parade, who marched for the parade, who just showed up and watched the parade, and for all the city folks who were involved in helping set it up and clean it up, and the police department who kept everybody safe during that
from one veteran to others. Thank you very much for that. Anything else? Dave? No? Mr. Brady?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a reminder, today we will welcome the first flight, inaugural flight of Frontier Airlines. Will be coming to Mesa at 2:30 p.m., and so we'll be welcoming them down at the Phoenix Gateway Airport. Tomorrow, November 16th, Councilmember Kavanaugh will be having his coffee with a council member from 7:30 to 8:30, and that will be at
Advance. 240 East Corey Avenue. It's a company owned by longtime resident Kevin DeRosa, and it's a company that does a lot of work in the science and technology of cleaning, as they put it. And also, Catherine Sorensen will be our guest speaker.
Dr. Sorensen will be the guest speaker, so good. And then Saturday, Councilmember Finters hosting a pancake breakfast at Station 220, where we just did the ribbon cutting a couple weeks ago. So that we invite everyone out to 50, that.
What is that, 56 in Maine?
Yeah.
56
yeah.
in Maine.
And let's see. Also on Saturday, this Saturday from 8 to noon, we'll have the Mesa Shred-a-thon at the East Mesa Service Center. So if residents have documents that we'd like to have safely shredded, you can bring those on Saturday morning. And we will see the council next on Monday at 5:15. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty, for the... Yep, okay. Ms. Crocker, any items for Citizens President? No? Motion to adjourn from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Chris is a second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.